Philemon. Philemon, right after the book of Titus, the book of Philemon. It's a simple one chapter verse, 25 verses. The book of Philemon. And he says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Now not as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And Father, again, thank you for the word of God, and I just pray you'd help us to see something and understand it today. And I just pray that you would work in every heart. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you know, this is an interesting passage of Scripture and an interesting little chapter. The prevailing wisdom is that Onesimus was a servant or slave to Philemon, and he ran away, and he met Paul in Rome while Paul was in prison. He got saved, and Paul is sending him back to make things right. And they're leaving it up to Philemon to determine whether he stays there or whether he goes back and works with Brother Paul or whatever the case may be. But Paul's there at this time, and he's calls himself Paul the aged, and he's in prison, most likely in Rome at this time. And it's getting near the end of his life, and this one person whom he knows shows up because he knows who Philemon is. Philemon's obviously the pastor of this church here, and or at least he's the one that's housing the church, because the church is in his house. Yeah. And so he's either the pastor, or he's just, remember, like if in the book of Acts, there was Lydia, and she had a house, and when they were in I believe it was Philippi, when they were in Philippi, I think it was. I had to go back and verify that, but they were there, and she told them to come into her house when she believed, and she let them use her house to preach out of. So they started a church in her house. So this is a similar thing. It may be that he's the pastor, but the idea of it, he says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborers. That seems to make it seem like he is maybe the preacher or somebody like that. He's a fellow laborer in that regard. And he said, to our beloved Apphia, I don't know, Apphia may be his wife, I don't know. And Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. So this is obviously a family. It may be that Philemon and Apphia and Archippus were all three related, maybe a father, a mother, and a son. I don't know. Or, you know, a father, a man and his wife, and one of their brothers, or something like that. Uncle, who knows? We don't know. We're not given the details. We just know that they're laborers, fellow soldiers, and beloved. And we see those things that are there. And he says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And he said, "I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers." Now, this is an amazing thing. There's a lot of things with the Apostle Paul says. What makes the Apostle Paul so amazing to me is Paul says something. He says something that you and I often say. But oftentimes what we say, we don't follow through. "Well, I'll be praying for you." And then we don't pray. But this is recorded in Scripture, so it is 100% true. He said, "I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers." You know, the Apostle Paul had a list, and he didn't deviate from it. He prayed for people. And it's recorded in the Word of God, so you know it's true. Would to God it could be that way with us. People wonder why the Apostle Paul was the man he was. There's a good part of it right there. That's just absolute faithfulness. And we need to desire to be more faithful like that. But we go on to read it. He says, "Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may come effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus." And just like the Apostle Paul said, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." And that's one of the things we need to understand. There is nothing good in us. Anything good is what Jesus put there. That's it. Alright? I don't know why we spend so much time relying on our history and family history and all that and all the pride that we have in it, when the only thing good in us is what Jesus did. You know, but we get all focused on all the pride things and everything like that, and I understand the sentiments of it, but it's not very logical, to be honest with you, from a spiritual aspect. But he said, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." Now that term that we have there, that bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, it's kind of foreign to us. All right? It's kind of foreign to us. It's given us... we have the sensation of the bowels being the guts, you know, the intestines, and that's our bowels, and that's the whole idea. And I've told when we talked about that, and he says in a couple of places there that he talks about it. He says the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. And then he says in another place, he says in verse 20, he says, "Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord." And we don't talk like that. And it seems kind of foreign. But a lot of things that are said before seem kind of foreign to us these days. But when we talk about the bowels, we talk about the center of emotion. We still refer to that sometimes. People say, "I have a gut feeling." And we also know, and I've said this before and we've talked about it, when you are emotionally disturbed or excited or whatever the case may be, a lot of times it manifests itself here in your stomach. We talk about when we get nervous, we have butterflies in our stomach, and I have a knot in my gut, you know, because of anxiety or fear or whatever it may be, things like that. My stomach was in a knot, and all that type of stuff that we talk about. There's the picture in the old times that the bowel was the seat of emotion, because that's where we felt things from that way. That's the part of our body that was affected by our emotions the most. And so we look at that picture. So when he talks about our bowels being refreshed, he's talking about people being made to feel good things about something or because of something. All right? That's what he's talking about. He's talking about good emotions, good feelings, and those things towards something. He said the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. What is he talking about? He's talking about the fact that these things that he was doing, the way his love and his faith toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that impacted the way people saw him. It impacted their lives. It impacted their outlook on life. It impacted things. They saw something good. They felt better for being associated with Philemon. And that's what he said. He said, we and even the Apostle Paul said, we have great joy and consideration and consolation in thy love. Because of this. He said, you're doing something really good. So later he says him, he says, yea, brother, let me have joy in thee, in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. In other words, he said, I want to be able to rejoice because of your handling of this situation. I'm looking forward to you doing this and handling this circumstance in a godly manner that will bring glory to the Lord, and it would bring joy to me. It would be a refreshing to me. By the way, isn't it always good when you're trying to do right? Isn't it a blessing to you when you actually get to see the results of what you do? So many times we don't get to see the results. All right? But when we get to see the results of what we do, isn't that like a refreshing to you? Doesn't it affect your emotions? Doesn't it bring some happiness and joy when you see, hey, I obeyed the Lord and look what happened? That's what he's talking about. It's not a real mystery here what he's talking about. He's talking about somebody making an impact on other people in such a way as to bring them joy, bring them happiness, bring them peace, make them rejoice. And this is what he's talking about. And so he says this. He says, wherefore, in verse 8, he says, though I might be bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. And he's talking, obviously, spiritually. He's not talking about we just had a new baby while I was in prison. He's talking about Onesimus getting saved. And he said, which in time past to thee was unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and me. Whatever transpired between Onesimus and Philemon was not good. Onesimus was persona non grata in Philemon's household. Looks like he was a servant. For all I know, he could have been a family member. Because he says, in some way, he says, you know, maybe he was a family member that owed something to Philemon. and was supposed to be paying it out by working and laboring or whatever he was supposed to do, and he reneged on it and took off. We don't know, because he said verse 15, he said, "For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord." So maybe there was some family relationship there. Anybody ever been hurt by a family member? Bet we all say amen to that, huh? Anybody ever hurt another family member? I bet we'd say amen to that one too. But we don't know. We don't know the particulars. We just know that he was a servant to Philemon for some reason. Maybe had a family relationship. Oh, maybe he owed him money. Maybe he owed him his life. Who knows what happened? But for one reason or another, Onesimus evidently left, and he ended up somehow in Rome with Paul. And Paul, knowing who he was, and Paul probably knowing the situation, talked to him. And you know the amazing thing about the Apostle Paul, and something we could take a look at. So many times we talk to people about their problems and never give them the gospel. Have you ever considered that might be the root of their problems? That they're not saved? Onesimus had a lot of problems, but the biggest root of his problem was he wasn't saved. He needed to be born again. Paul shared the gospel with him. So should we. A lot of times we want to help people, but you know, if you don't help them be saved, have you really helped them at all? It's kind of like the old adage about, we talk about people that go out and feed the poor and everything like that, and clothe and shelter the poor and everything like that. I'm happy for everyone they clothe and everyone they shelter and everyone they feed. But in the grand scheme of things, if that's all they do is feed them and clothe them, and they never tell them about Jesus, what good is it? Their problems are still the same. There's nothing to fix it. And Paul understood that Onesimus' problem was he needed to be saved. And so Paul preached the gospel to him, and now he's sending him back. He said, "I could have, you know, just pulled rank and said, hey, I need him. He's here. Lord sent him to me. He's saved. Now he's here for me. And, you know, I just want to let you know he got saved. But you know what? He's sending Onesimus back to make things right." You know, one of the things that hamstring a lot of Christians is they never go back and get things right that they need to get right. You know, I'm glad that in my Christian life, Lord has shown me the necessity of going back and getting things right. I've told stories about times I've went and done things and got things right as a young Christian. And you know, that made a difference in my life. Gave me a peace with God that I wouldn't have had otherwise. And I'm just going to say to you, if you're saved and there's things that you haven't gotten right, you know, you need to go get them right. It's important. Especially if you've been saved for any amount of time. Don't you think it's about time you got things right? Wherever you can. I mean, you say, well, you know, somebody did something wrong to me. And maybe you did something wrong in response. You don't have to apologize for what they did wrong, but you ought to apologize for what you did wrong. And you never know, it might open up the door for them to get saved. Somebody did you wrong, and you did them wrong. Well, the fact that they did wrong doesn't justify your wrong, does it? So go apologize for your wrong. That simple principle has been a great blessing throughout my entire life. It's helped me. I'm not going to go into details, but that very principle opened the door for me and Sister Denise to be married one day. And it turned out to be a great blessing. Isn't that an amazing thing? One of the greatest blessings of my life is directly attributable to my willingness to follow that simple principle. I could talk about a lot of others as well. Just an amazing thing how God works and the wonderful things that He does. And so He says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, which whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, that thou therefore receive him. That is mine own bowels. You know, he left and he was out of sorts with you, but he got right with God and he's a blessing to me. And I love him. I'm just asking you to love him as a brother in the Lord too. He said, receive him. And he said, whom I have sent again, that thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, who I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. He said, I'm not going to take him away from you. He said, I know he owes you. So I'm going to send him back to you. And if you want him to come and work with me, then that's your choice. I'm not going to pull rank on you and say to do that. And he said, for perhaps, he said, I don't know. He said, perhaps that he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Maybe this is what needed to happen so things could finally be fixed and be right between you. And he says, now, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and the Lord. Having saved family members is a great, great blessing. It really is. It really, really is a great, great blessing. Isn't it wonderful to have a relationship that goes beyond the flesh, but still have that fleshly relationship? And he says, as thou count me therefore as a partner, receive him as myself. Treat him like you treat me. And this is the amazing thing. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written with mine own hand, I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. You know what he's talking? He's talking to me and said, you know, somebody led you to the Lord, didn't they? And who was it? By the way this is written, it sounds like it was the Apostle Paul that led Philemon to the Lord. And now, this other person, this Onesimus, who's a servant, and possibly a brother or a relation of some kind, I don't know, he might be a son, he might be a nephew, he might be, who knows what he is, he might be an uncle, I don't know, cousin, who knows, but he's some type of kinsman, evidently, according to the flesh, to Philemon. And he owes him, and he took off, but now he's saved, and he's coming back to make right. And Paul is saying, look, he's back to make it right with you. You need to do your part. And he said, if you feel slighted, if he's wronged you, if he owes you anything, put that on my account. I'm writing it down. I'm putting it in writing for you. I was talking to a fella the other day, and we were talking about, you know, how a man's word used to be his bond. know, you say, my word is my bond. Whatever you said, you would do it. And that principle is based upon the Bible. But nowadays, they say, what? You better get that in writing. Mm-hmm. You better get it in writing. Well, he said this. Do you got it in writing? No. Well, it don't mean anything then. You can't prove it. Paul is in a time where a man's word is his bond. Especially with a Christian brother, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Right? And now he's saying, I've written with my own hand. You've got it in writing. If he owes you anything, he says, put it on my account. I'll pay it. And that's something I want you to understand. There was a missionary family called the Lindsays many years ago that I had the privilege of knowing and talking to, and we supported them for some time at the church that I used to go to. And they sang some songs together, and brother and sister Lindsay did, and their children. And but at a song called Put That on Mine Account. Like Onesimus, I went astray. And I guess that I thought I'd never pay for all my sin. Where would I begin? But the day it came when I was found, the law had come and I was bound. I could not run. What would be done? Put that on my account. That's what the Savior said. Put that on my account and cancel all his debt. My sin was oh so bad, and great was its amount, something to that effect. But now I'm free at last. It's all on Christ's account. There's the picture. And you know, the Apostle Paul was not just somebody that was desirous to get folks saved. I mean, he led Philemon to the Lord, evidently, by the language of this. He clearly says he led Onesimus to the Lord. But now, he's looking, he's not just out trying to get folks saved. He's trying to make a difference and make things right within a family and within a church, and saying, hey, I'll bear the burden. I'll pay the debt. You know what that's called? It's called being like Jesus. That's what it's called. And we have a wonderful picture of that. You know, he says, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. He said, you know, I believe, and I know, you're going to do more than I'm asking you to do. But I just, you know, I have confidence that you're just going to obey the Lord. You're going to do the right thing. And he said, withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. You know, a little while later, we read over in 2 Timothy and Titus, and we talk about Paul being ready to be offered in the time of his departure at hand, how he fought a good fight, and he finished his course, and he kept the faith and all that. And from henceforth there was laid up for him a crown of righteousness. And all that time he's talking about knowing that his time of his departure is at hand. But here, he's at this point, he's simply saying, you know, I believe God. God's going to bring me out. Always looking forward. Isn't that amazing? He knows what could happen, but he's always looking forward to God doing something. That's an amazing thing about him too. Here he is looking forward to serving the Lord, and then when it comes apparent that that's not going to happen, now he's looking forward to going to heaven. Well, we see that picture there. See a picture of a man that God shows us, a person in the Apostle Paul that wants folks to get saved, wants folks to get right with God, and just himself is trusting the Lord. Boy, that's an amazing person right there. That's the work of God. That's something to be copied. That's something to be emulated. To be that type of person. Remember all what the people who write the commentaries, all the theologians call the Beatitudes? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. I think, is that the right way it went? Paul's all that, trying to bring peace between God and man, and peace between man and man, brother and brother. That's a wonderful thing. There's a beautiful picture. Stepping up and saying, hey, you know, he didn't have anything to do with anything that happened there. But he said, I'm willing to pay the penalty. I'll pay. If it'll help you get right with God, if it'll help y'all, I'll take care of it. I'm going to step forward. Step forward, you're in jail. I'll find a way to do what I can to help God's people be what God's people should be. Isn't that a blessing of a person? How'd you like a bunch of people in your life like that, that were willing to go the extra mile just to try to see if there was a problem in your family or a problem between another brother, go the extra mile and do whatever was necessary to try to make things right? How'd you like to have somebody around you that was always concerned and always wanting to see people saved and wasn't just worried about giving them a little bit of comfort, but wanted to do that, but so much more. Show them the way to eternal life. How many of you like people like that to be around you? Reap what you sow. Think about it. Let's just look at the Word of God. Look at this. And let's just be like Jesus, who, when you were lost, he had everything, all your sins, put to his account, didn't he? Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out today. Father, we thank you for your love and your kindness and your mercy. Bless your people, we pray, with understanding. Lord, help us to understand the Word of God in the manner which we ought. We thank you, Father, for this example and this Scripture. Help us to see that we ought to be all these things to one another. Lord, help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.